From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast. Today, sunny and 72 degrees expected. Tonight, clear, 42 for a low. Tomorrow, a chance of rain and fog. Otherwise, mostly sunny and 63. And for Saturday, sunny and 66 degrees in the forecast. 57 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, another candidate interview. This is the only race we're taking a second look at because it's getting the most attention of anything on the ballot outside of the presidential race. And we were talking about the race for the 4th Congressional District. Longtime incumbent Congressman Peter DeFazio being challenged by Roseburg's Alex Garlatos, who is on with us. Alex, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So the final days of the race, how does it feel for you right now?
It's looking really good. I mean, we're basically neck and neck in the polls, and it's really going to come down to turnout. And speaking of turnout, it's looking like it's going to be the highest turnout year probably in history. So we need, of course, Republicans to show up to match the Democrat turnout. And usually Republicans surge in the final days, and that's what we're looking at. But it's going to be neck and neck one way or another.
Back when you decided to run, did you think this race might get this intense?
I knew it was going to get intense. It's just kind of being here and seeing everything that's going on and all of the energy one way or another, and being talked about by people that have never met me is always fun. But honestly, I kind of enjoy it. I think it's very competitive and it's exciting, and I'm just looking forward to November 3rd.
Well, it is one of the most talked about races in the Northwest. Talk about the very high level of national attention this race has generated.
A lot of people are talking about this race, the momentum we've been able to, take advantage of in the state of Oregon. There's a lot of anti-Democrat sentiment due to Kate Brown and a lot of things that they've done on the state level as well, and the fact that Peter DeFazio has gone so far left recently. Obviously, it's one of the most competitive races in the country, and it's one of the most competitive seats in the country, and that's why a lot of people are looking at this outside of Oregon as well, and you can see that by the amount of PAC money DeFazio's been able to have spent on his behalf against me. They're definitely nervous about losing this seat, and Republicans are excited about hopefully taking it.
What are the key issues for you? What areas are you most interested in impacting if you're elected?
Well, it's the same stuff I've been talking about, the timber industry, getting back to responsible forest management to help prevent these massive forest fires that we've had this year. DeFazio voted against salvage logging, I think, just 2 or 3 weeks before the massive forest fires that we had, partially due to our lack of timber industry and forest management. We have the poorest congressional district in the state. And after 34 years in office, Peter DeFazio has done nothing to help solve that problem either. And I would just look at lowering taxes and regulation to help encourage economic growth here in Oregon's 4th Congressional District, because God knows it's needed.
What about other areas, other big issues for you that are of particular interest?
Well, again, on timber, ONC reform is going to be a huge problem that we need to solve, and getting money back into county government so we're not struggling to pay our sheriff's departments, as well as health care and access to the VA for veterans is going to be some of my highest priorities as well.
And what do you think with the VA, what would you take a look at? What do you think should be done differently there?
Well, fortunately, the Trump administration has done a lot to improve the quality of care, but especially in Oregon's 4th Congressional District, I'd like to improve access, especially by older veterans and veterans on the coast. They have a very difficult time of getting to the VA, so I'd either look at setting up clinics on the coast for veterans or going back to a busing system and picking them up and taking them to the VAs on the I-5 corridor.
Let's come back to the federal forest management question. Go into more detail about what you think should be done, the policy changes that should be made on federal lands.
Well, just getting back to responsible forest management, thinning, targeted burns, and salvage logging, I think, would be the best thing we could do. I mean, the amount of huge forest fires we've had, just salvage logging could get us back above the 500 million board foot minimum set in the ONC laws. And not to mention, it restores the forest 10 years quicker than if you just leave it. Sequesters carbon. It's good for the environment. I mean, it's a win-win for just about everybody, but yet we're not doing it. So I think salvage logging should be the one thing where we can move the needle on the quickest.
What about the ONC lands in particular? Those have kind of a unique set of parameters around them, and it's something that Oregon's lawmakers and even forestry folks are always trying to have to re-explain to folks back in D.C.
Well, that's part of the problem, is that there's no one on the federal level championing this issue, and it's a federal law, and it's very obscure and only affects Western Oregon, and that's why no one's been able to do anything about it. And frankly, DeFazio doesn't care to do anything about it. Of course, it's tied in directly to the county government and the tax dollars they receive due to the lack of tax dollars from property taxes that the county government otherwise would receive. So we need to get back to actually managing our forest, bringing in those tax dollars to county governments, or else we're just going to continue to starve and have to eventually cut sheriff's departments. And that's why counties are suffering so bad here in Western Oregon. And again, mainly because there's no one on the federal level championing these issues.
What about the impact of the current management style from the federal level in relation to the Archie Creek fire, the other fires in the region that we have dealt with in the last few weeks?
Well, it's not working. I mean, no one's working across aisle to solve these problems. It's getting worse and worse every year. I mean, Archie Creek alone, I think I saw a map from Douglas Forest Protective Agency, and they'd overlaid every major fire from like the last 15 years inside of Archie Creek, and it was still not larger than what happened this year with Archie Creek fire and what happened this year across all of Western Oregon. So as much as they want to blame this all on climate change or whatever, I mean, this is really fuel load management. And every year that goes by that we let these snags sit in the forest and let this huge fuel load build up, it's going to get worse and worse every year until we actually decide to do something about it.
Do you think the climate change question played into the way things went this year with the fires?
Perhaps, but that's not the root cause of it. I mean, the root cause is fuel load. I mean, we need to reduce the fuel load. And again, that's just going to get worse and worse every year. And if we are concerned about climate change, we should worry about these massive forest fires that dump tons of carbon into the atmosphere. And there's more carbon dumped into the atmosphere by the burned stand of trees rotting in the forest than the actual forest fire itself. So then again, why not salvage log, prevent future forest fires, and sequester all that carbon? If your main concern is climate change, I don't understand why no one's done anything on salvage logging, for instance.
Running a campaign this year has been very different in any race across any aisle, Democrat, Republican, whatever, just with all the COVID-19 restrictions and implications and things going on. Did you have to rethink how to do a campaign, talking with the folks that have been working with you on this, and as opposed to not being able to get out and do as many events, things like that?
Well, absolutely. We've definitely not been able to do as many in-person events as we would like. We've tried to do as many as we can, but it's still not what a typical election year would look like. Fortunately, we've been able to overcome that by fundraising and doing a lot of social media and ad buys and things like that. But it's definitely an unusual year.
I mean, do you feel like you're sort of running it, you know, you're at home most of the time, you're not out talking to people, and I would think that would be, for any candidate, very different?
Yes, it's nerve-wracking. I mean, we're not stuck at home completely. We still do quite a few events, and they're smaller meetings or smaller meet and greets and things like that, but we're still getting out there and doing as much as we can.
We're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back, looking at the race for Congress. Republican challenger Alex Scarlatos with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4, Northwest Wine Radio. Brian Calvert looking at wine, beer, and spirits around the Pacific Northwest. Deadline for voting next Tuesday. One of the hottest races in the Northwest, the race for Congress in Oregon's 4th Congressional District. That's why we're hitting it again. Republican challenger Alex Scarlatos with us this afternoon. Alec, with the structure of Congress, do you think you could make a big impact as a new member versus someone with seniority who's been there for a long time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially in the way government's set up these days and the Democrats having the House and the Republicans still having the Senate and the presidency, you have to work across the aisle. And that's one thing that I'm definitely going to focus on. I mean, Oregon's 4th Congressional District is one of the closest districts in the country. We don't lean Republican or Democrat. And you really have to be able to work with both parties. And I think that there's a lot of compromises that can be reached with how we manage our forests and how we can start growing our economy here again.
As you've been running, I know that you've talked to a number of Republicans back in Washington, D.C. Have you had any conversations with Democrats back there, folks that you might be dealing with in the future if you're elected?
Not really. They wouldn't meet with me, so that's okay. I mean, we're in an election year, and we are the opposing party. But if elected, I mean, there are still a handful of moderate Democrats that I would probably try to work with, especially getting things done here in Oregon on issues like forest management and salvage logging.
Have you talked to any of the current members of Congress from other parts of Oregon?
No, because they're all Democrat. So, again, I divert to my first answer.
What about committee assignments, things you would seek to do, committees you'd seek to get on if you're elected?
Probably natural resources or even something as high up as Ways and Means, just trying to help out the ONC issue in the 4th Congressional District and the economy as a whole.
And I'm not sure exactly how those are divvied up. Obviously, as you, when you go in the first term, you probably get what's handed to you, and it may be hard to know exactly what committees you're assigned, which means some of them might come, you know, from other areas and have, quite a bit of a learning curve.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, I've adapted to many, many different things in the last 5 years of my life, and they've all worked out for me one way or another. So I'm definitely excited about going into Congress and learning about all the different committee assignments and how I can use them to help Oregon's fourth economy.
Well, if you back up a few years, all the things in your life, obviously the incident you're the most well-known for and the things that have followed that. I mean, when you graduated from Roseburg High, did you ever think any of this might be happening?
Absolutely not. I mean, I never even thought about getting involved in politics. I mean, I think politics is a pretty disgusting business. But at the end of the day, I saw the need for someone to represent the 4th Congressional District of Oregon. I saw how terrible our economy was and our forests burning up every year. And I thought someone really had to do something about it. And no one else was stepping up to the plate. So I decided to go for it.
How is this different from running for county commissioner, which you did in the past?
It's totally different. I mean, it's really a nationalized race. We're trying to garner support from across the country and across the state. I mean, it's just on a much larger scale. And, of course, competing with a congressman who's been there for 34 years and has a lot of PAC money and special interest money behind him. I mean, you can see the volume of ads coming out from the DeFazio campaign is significant. And it's just a whole different ballgame.
If you're elected, what would be your top priorities going in next year?
I mean, kind of the same things I talked about, ONC reform, trying to get back and managing the forest responsibly, preventing future forest fires and bringing in money to county governments, turning around the economy of Oregon's 4th Congressional District, which is now, unfortunately, the poorest in the state, and reducing taxes and regulation to help get us back on track.
What about when you talk about the federal level, the federal budget? Obviously, with COVID-19, a lot of money going out the door this year. Are you concerned about the level of debt that the nation has got to deal with at some point in the future?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially as a younger person, as a millennial, I mean, it's the problem that I'm going to have to deal with for a long time. and we cannot keep adding to the national debt at this rate and not expect very negative consequences in the near future. That's going to be a huge priority for myself and hopefully a lot of other Republicans in office as well.
Obviously, we've added to the debt this year with some of the relief from COVID-19 and different things. Do you think more help there is needed, more stimulus money to help the economy?
Maybe towards small businesses, but I'd be very narrow in the scope of who I would help out. I mean, we, again, can't afford these multi-trillion dollar bailout packages year after year, especially if we don't decide to open up. But at the end of the day, we do need to allow our small businesses to start opening back up because we're dealing with very long-term consequences, some that are even worse than the coronavirus.
Do you feel like, how would you assess, I guess, the federal response to COVID-19? How well do you think the federal government has dealt with the situation?
I mean, I think we reacted properly to begin with, but now that we're, you know, what, almost 7 or 8 months so past the 15 or 2 weeks to slow the spread, I mean, we really need to look at how we're going to deal with this virus long term, and we can't continue to stay locked down and just pass $1 trillion bailout package after $1 trillion bailout package and expect our economy to and country to still be healthy and run as if business as usual when it's not.
And it's such a unique situation back at the front end. I don't think anybody from any political perspective thought this was going to, you know, go the way it has.
No, absolutely not.
Alex Gerlatos with us. A couple minutes left on Inside Douglas County. High voter turnout, obviously forecast. We're at about 54% in Douglas County. We're seeing ballots come in all over the 4th Congressional District in large numbers, as the rest of the state, the nation as well. But in a state that leans Democratic and in a district that is kind of split with conservative areas, more progressive areas, does this high voter turnout, does it help you, does it hurt you, or maybe does it not have that much an impact?
It actually helps us because we're going to win the non-affiliated and independent voters. We do need the Republicans to start turning in their ballots. They usually surge late in the game anyway, but it'd be nice to see them starting to turn them in now. but it absolutely does help us, and we're very excited.
The race has been a lot of lobbying back and forth. You talked about the advertising, the social media. Do you think any of it's gotten too negative?
Probably on both sides. I mean, I would much rather talk about what I'm going to do for Oregon's 4th Congressional District. But at the end of the day, DeFazio went negative first, and we had to respond to it. But I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, the voters, I think, have a very clear choice this election. Peter DeFazio's had 34 years to effect change on Oregon's 4th, and we're significantly worse off now than when he took office. And I think the two parties have a vast gulf in between them, and it's a very clear choice between the two parties and which one represents freedom and which one represents a road that I don't think America wants to go down.
And what about the aspect of a millennial running for Congress? What do you think that adds to the picture?
Well, again, I just think it makes the choices even more clear. I mean, Peter DeFazio's, for all intents and purposes, a dinosaur that's been in Congress way too long. I believe in term limits. I mean, I'm younger. I think we're going to have to solve this national debt. We're not going to be able to continue to balloon it at this rate and expect not to have negative consequences. I'm going to have to deal with this problem of the timber industry and ONC reform and improper forest management causing these forest fires for a much longer time. So it gives me an incentive to solve these problems. And I think that we need a fresh look and a fresh set of eyes at Oregon's 4th Congressional District and someone whose main concern is helping the people of Oregon's 4th Congressional District, not passing a Green New Deal and all these other things that DeFazio seems to be distracted with.
Take the final 15 seconds here and give your last pitch for why folks should vote for you if they're undecided.
Well, just like what I said, I mean, DeFazio has had 34 years to effect change, and we need someone different who actually is worried about the people of Oregon's 4th Congressional District. And I bring a lot of energy and a fresh set of eyes to Congress and Oregon's 4th as a whole. And I'd be proud to represent the people of Southwestern Oregon.
Alex Gerlatos, Republican running for Congress. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.